Do we have the slides? Thank you, Lord. It's our Connect service, so it is slightly different in terms of it's more interactive, and we try to engage with the theme of the service together. We've been looking at 12 images, 12 portraits of the church. And so far we've looked at 6. I'm not going to test you this week, but we're looking at the 7th today. How the church is God's army. How the church is God's army. Next slide, please. Life is a battleground. Life is a battleground. And you can see in the slide, on one side, everyday life, the hustle, the bustle, the grind, the daily routine. But right in the thick and the mix is also spiritual reality happening alongside. On the one hand, God is showing grace and mercy and wanting people to come to the knowledge of truth. On the other hand, the enemy is seeking to manipulate and control and deceive and keep people away from God. So we're going to listen to a song, and then we'll come back and discuss it. Clip one. What do you think? What's the song about? Or what resonated with you from that song? The challenge of life and how you choose to react to it. Yeah? Yeah? And it's Where's the hope in that song? Any other thoughts? Very good, yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Pain, yeah, there's pain. There is pain. And Coldplay is not a Christian band. But he ended the song with Hallelujah, which means, sorry? Yeah. So it expresses the state of the world. It expresses the fracture, the pain, what everyday life projects, what everyday life is like. But yes, maybe it doesn't sound as hopeful as it should, but it did say some things like, hold tight to everyday life. Keep dancing when the lights go out. And then it says, at first light, throw out and open your arms. Hallelujah. Praise. Worship. So life is a battleground. There's a spectrum of light and dark involved in the normal, everyday lives of everyone. And how we engage with that is very, very important. How we discern that is very, very important. How did we get to a place where life has become a battleground? Because from the record we see in the scriptures, God created everything good. Both the visible realms and the invisible realms. the heavens and the earth. He even created a garden of Eden. And Eden means pleasure. It means delight. So God's intention was a place, a playground, a place of enjoyment. So how did we get to the place where it's now a battleground? Charles wants to say something. Yes, Charles. Sorry? Resistance to goodness. That sounds very theological. I like that. Resistance to goodness. Next slide, please. Something happened. The fall happened. It's like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and had a great fall. And nobody could pull Humpty Dumpty back together again. So something happened and changed the narrative. A place of pleasure and enjoyment has become a place of pain, of brokenness, and of fracture. And when God came on the scene, when Adam and Eve had gone against his instruction, he started to tell them of the consequences. He said, look at what you've done. This is what's going to lead to. But then he gave a caveat. He said, I will put enmity between the seed, talking to the serpent now, between your seed and the seed of the woman. He said, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. So God said, don't think you've got a friendly alliance here. I'm going to make sure you're enemies. And eventually, something is going to happen to you. And from that point onwards, the serpent started searching. Who is the seed of the woman? Saw two brothers. One was good. Both of them had a good, brought gifts to the Lord. One did it giving his whole heart. The other one was a bit half-hearted about it. And God said, just do the right thing and be accepted. But he got jealous of his brother and killed his brother. Guess who was behind that? The one looking for the seed of the woman. And at every point, at every turn, he was looking, where is the seed of the woman? Because it's just like Macbeth, when they told him, you'll be king for as long as the forest, if the forest can move from here to there, or you find a man who is not born of a woman, you'll be king. And he thought, those are two impossible things. A forest cannot move from there to there. And there's no man that is not born of a woman. Woo-hoo. What about cesarean section? Because the guy that killed him was not born naturally of a woman. And the forest, they took leaves from the forest to another forest. But in his mind, he was thinking, those are two impossible things. The enemy too was thinking, a woman cannot have a seed. This is just a trick from God. But God had a plan. Fast forward, Mary conceives by the word of God, without the agency of a man. So this woman was carrying a seed. And what you see in that picture happened at the cross. The fury of hell was released and unleashed on Jesus. Every form of human pain, brokenness that we could ever suffer was unleashed and released on Jesus. And he thought, I've got him now. And then Jesus said these words, it is finished. Bang. And it changed. And at that point, the Holy Spirit took him to the place of the dead, where the saints who were in paradise were waiting. And he went to show himself, presented himself to them. It is finished. That's why it says in that scripture, he disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Where did that happen? It didn't happen in Jerusalem. It happened in the realm of the dead. And he brought out those who had been waiting, Abraham, Moses, all the saints, all the people who followed God, and took them into heaven. So he took the authority that was lost in the garden. By saying it is finished. So next slide, please. So the war is over. Yes, life is a battleground, but the war is over. Does anybody know what picture that is? Oh, that's good. D-Day. It was D-Day. How long was the war for D-Day? Sorry? Was it 6 years? But D-Day was when the invasion happened, and for 3 months they invaded Normandy. June to August. And technically the war was over by then. But do you know when the Germans left Normandy? The year after. But the war was won in 1944. They didn't leave till 9th of May 1945. So what happened when the war was over? Likewise, Jesus has won the war. But the warfare, the art of maintaining victory, is still on. The warfare is still on. Why? Because the victory Jesus obtained, he said, maintain. So, next slide, please. Our second reading says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? We'll look at this in more detail. Can we look at clip 2, please?
Remember, thou art only a man.
You know what the guy behind him holding the crown was saying? Remember, you're just a man. Remember, you're just a man. But that is what happens when a Roman army comes back from war. They call it a triumphal procession. And the general brings the spoils of war, the prisoners of war, and the whole city gathers to welcome the general and his army coming back from war. And then somebody holds the victor's crown right behind, like that guy was doing, and says, remember, you're just a mortal. Remember, you're just a mortal. But the triumphal procession goes on, and it's a big, big celebration. And Paul had this image in mind when he was talking about Christ displaying us as his trophies, spreading the aroma of his knowledge everywhere. So he says Christ is always leading us in procession. And everywhere we are, everywhere we go, we're spreading the knowledge of Christ. And to those who already know him, it's so sweet smelling, it's pleasing. To those who are yet to know him, it reveals their state to them. That knowledge reveals their state to them. So to those who already know him, it's life-giving because they already are in him. And they're like, yeah, that's it. That's the knowledge, yeah. And to those who don't, they suddenly realize, oh, I need him. I need to know him. That is the warfare. The art of maintaining victory. Knowledge of Christ must be spread. It must filter in. People must know of the victory. People must know of what transpired on the cross. People must know of what transpired in the realm of the dead. People must know what transpires in the resurrection. We have to keep spreading that knowledge. Hit the like button and share. Subscribe. Isn't that what they say on YouTube? Hit the like button for notifications. Share. We need to keep spreading it. See, because the knowledge people have of life is painful. It's broken. They need a knowledge that gives life. A knowledge that would relieve them. A knowledge that would strengthen them. A knowledge that will edify them. So the art of maintaining victory is that Christ is always leading us in his procession. So wherever you are, where you work, at home, on the street, imagine you wear a very strong cologne. And people say, I like that. People perceive it, don't they? If it's strong and sweet smelling, people are like, like Lel said to me the other day in the office, like, well, yeah, it smells good. I said, thank God. But people perceive it. They know you've met with Christ. They know you have a living relationship. There's something different about you. It's inviting. It's sweet smelling. And when you have a skunk in the area, you know what happens. Nobody can stand the smell. Stark reality. Last slide, please. Now, the warfare is within us. You know, the war is over. D-Day is over. But the warfare is within us. That's why Paul said, look, the weapons with which we fight are not carnal. Let me read this version. I like this version, the Phillips translation. It says, the truth is that although, of course, we lead normal human lives, the battle we are fighting is on the spiritual level. The very weapons we use are not those of human warfare, but powerful in God's warfare for the destruction of the enemy's strongholds. Our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. Once we are sure of your obedience, we shall not shrink from dealing with those who refuse to obey. Just like Charles said earlier on, it's a resistance. There's a knowledge in us that wants to resist what Christ has done. There's a knowledge of how the world works that stands in opposition to the goodness of Christ. Arguments, theories, reasonings, imaginations in our minds. So it's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the mind. As we go about our daily activities, guess what? This place is working. There's a stream of thoughts, of ideas, suggestions constantly going through your airwaves. You now need to discern which thoughts you need to allow and which thoughts you know you need to disallow. But how do you know which thoughts to allow? Knowledge. How do you know which thoughts are harmful to you? Knowledge. How do you know which thoughts trigger the wrong emotions in you? Knowledge. When you know what's been done for you and who you are, it helps you to have discernment of the things going on in this airspace. The real warfare is here. That's why it says, guard your heart. Like a prisoner is guarded. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Why? Because that's where your life stems from. So protect your mind. Don't just be... Yes, Charles. Sorry? Sorry, I didn't get that. Say that again, Spirit. Faithful. Now, God has given us the ability to reason. He gave us intellect. So we don't say intellect is bad. But what we are saying is, what are we using our intellect for? What are we using our emotions for? What's the purpose for which He has given us a mind? What's the purpose for which He has given us our bodies? It's knowledge of what Christ has done that helps us to know how to use our body for His glory. How to use our mind for His glory. When you join the military, the discipline doesn't just affect your body. What does it affect? Your mind. That's why people go into the military, they may be a bit, by the time they come back, you see them walking. Physically, something has happened. But mentally, emotionally, something has also happened. Your mind should be like a militarized zone. Enemy planes flying through your airspace, bring them down. He says, the mind that is stayed on God is perfect peace. Shalom. Shalom. For double emphasis. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He said, he that keeps his mind on me will have shalom. Shalom. Freedom from agitation, from irritation. A sense of wholeness where things can even still be chaotic around you, but because your mind is stayed, emphasis, stayed, So it's not that we don't think about God or His Word, but we think, don't think. But like a military man, like a soldier, if we train ourselves to always think on the things that are good, the things that are honest, the things that are noble, the things that are of good report, the things of God, then we see transformation. We see Christ-likeness in and through us. That is the warfare. So as the army of God, God says, put on your whole armor. Why? Because all these things happen in the mind. Your sense of righteousness with God, your sense of salvation, your sense of peace, your sense of faith, your sense of truth, everything is internal. Do you know sports people? They train themselves. It impacts their diet. It impacts their psychology. Everything they do to be the perfect athlete impacts every area of their lives. When you ask them, who's going to win? Seven people running the 100 meters. Each one will say, I'll win. They have to have that mindset. Even if they don't win, they say, okay, it didn't work for me today, but I'll come back again. They have to have that mindset. How about us as Christians? I'm going to say this and end with this. The disciples were arrested for preaching the name of Jesus. And the punishment was flogging. They whipped them, battered them. And guess what? They were like, yoo-hoo! I mean, if you get some whips, you know how that feels. But they were like, for us to be even considered worthy to suffer for His sake, they went, where did that mindset come from? Rejoicing even in suffering. So as Christians, God wants us to have a militant mindset.